This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, May 5th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. All eyes are on Facebook's independent oversight board this morning. It'll be handing down a highly anticipated decision that'll determine whether former President Donald Trump can return to the company's platforms. The ruling puts a spotlight on a relatively new panel that's unique among social media companies and could reignite debate over companies' responsibility to moderate content on the internet. Our Facebook reporter Jeff Horwitz will bring us up to speed after these headlines. Technology and other growth stocks stumbled yesterday. The tech-heavy NASDAQ closed down nearly 2%, stung by declines in shares of semiconductor companies and big tech companies like Apple and Facebook. As the economy begins to show signs of recovery, investors are shifting their bets to companies that stand to benefit. That's leading to a rally in energy and banking stocks, while tech shares have slowed their gains. Bitcoin also took a hit yesterday after more than doubling at the beginning of the year. According to CoinDesk, it dropped 5.5% to about $54,660. On the topic of cryptocurrency, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen called for more regulation of crypto assets at the Wall Street Journal's CEO Council Summit yesterday.
There are issues around money laundering, Bank Secrecy Act, use of digital currencies for illicit payments, consumer protection, and the like. And while there are several agencies that arguably have some ability to address this through regulation, I frankly don't think we have a framework in the United States that is quite up to the task of putting in place a regulatory framework that we need in the future. So I think that's a topic that's well worth addressing.
And back in 2019, Amazon, Microsoft, and other tech companies competed for a $10 billion cloud computing contract with the Department of Defense, known as the Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure, or JEDI, contract. Ultimately, the DoD awarded it to Microsoft, a decision that Amazon is in the process of challenging. But we report exclusively that two Republican lawmakers say that Amazon may have violated antitrust laws and federal conflict of interest laws during the selection process, and they're asking the attorney general to investigate. An Amazon representative said the allegations are meritless. The company has previously said that its cloud subsidiary received no preferential treatment. All right, coming up after the break, what you need to know about Facebook's oversight board before it hands down a big decision on former President Donald Trump's accounts today. That's next.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with. Listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
Former President Donald Trump has been banned from Facebook's platforms since January. That's when Facebook, like several other social media platforms, suspended his accounts after a pro-Trump mob attacked the U.S. Capitol. At the time, CEO Mark Zuckerberg said the suspension was important to reduce the risk of violence through the inauguration of President Biden. Facebook later referred the suspension to its independent oversight board. Their decision is expected today. And so for a closer look at how this will all work, let's turn now to our Facebook reporter, Jeff Horwitz. Hey, Jeff, thanks for being here.
Sure.
Now, before we get started, we should note that the Wall Street Journal's owner, News Corp, has a commercial agreement to supply news through Facebook. Okay, so Jeff, let's start with the basics here. Tell us about this oversight board. How does it work and who's on it?
So Facebook formed this thing sort of over a number of years, but it really kind of only got going late last year. And there are 20 members. Facebook picked the original ones. Then after that, the members themselves picked additional members. And so the goal is that it's endowed independent from Facebook. It has $130 million plus in funding. And the goal is for it to be able to offer guidance and also to make hard final decisions on specific content issues that Facebook faces. And that can either be from user appeals or from company referrals.
Right, and this Trump decision being that second option, company referrals. So the Oversight Board hasn't commented on how it's going to rule on this decision of whether to reinstate President Trump. But I wonder if we could talk about who exactly these members are and what kinds of decisions they've made thus far.
They're mostly lawyers. Beyond that, there are some journalists, there are some politicians, there are some think tank people. There's a lot of lawyers and some human rights advocates, also more lawyers, if I didn't mention that. And they've issued some early rulings that sort of suggest a very strong free speech direction in which, you know, if harm isn't concrete and isn't immediately obvious, they're inclined to not have Facebook act. At least that's kind of been the general read of the early rulings.
So a lot of lawyers, a lot of questions about what exactly this decision is going to look like. And to be clear here, this board's jurisdiction extends far beyond just this case of former President Trump, right? What exactly is their role at Facebook?
Well, it does extend beyond, but this is kind of in some ways like, and they're hitting it very early on, the most high profile act of concrete power that they are likely to face. The board has very specific jurisdiction over specific take it down or leave it up content decisions. They do not have control over Facebook's algorithms. They can't say that, you know, you took down this piece, you should take down this piece of content and every other piece of content that's vaguely similar to it in the future. So in some respects, it really does serve more of an advisory capacity on most issues. I mean, its rulings are supposed to be final and Facebook is supposed to consider them as precedent so long as they don't violate local law. The sort of soft power of the board, as it were, is they can issue guidance and pose questions to Facebook that Facebook has pledged to respond to. But, you know, the one thing that is just absolutely set in stone is that once the board makes a decision on this case, Facebook has to follow its direction within 7 days.
And as all of this has been happening, where has Trump been? What's he been up to?
He has been issuing press releases that often kind of weirdly read like tweets. You know, they have like the @ and then, you know, someone's handle. And he has done some media appearances on, I would say, generally friendly audiences in terms of talk shows. But he's actually been pretty quiet. I mean, one place I think that he has not been that's notable is on Parler or any of the upstart social media platforms. I mean, there's no question that if the former president wanted to, he could bring 10 million people to a platform in a heartbeat. But he hasn't done that. I think something that's worth considering, too, just in terms of the president and his usage of social media, is that Facebook was never really his first love. He broadcast a lot of rallies on there, and there was a ton of content, and people shared his stuff. But he pretty much just cross-posted from Twitter, and Twitter has said they will never let him back on.
Got it. So I think a big question here is, why is this decision from Facebook's oversight board being so closely watched? What kind of an impact could it have?
So this has been, I think, of great interest to world leaders, even ones who don't necessarily love President Donald Trump. Germany's Angela Merkel, for example, has suggested that it's very concerning that a major communications platform, which Facebook is, in addition to being a social media platform, would just unceremoniously remove a head of state. So I think that's one reason. A second reason is that it has been kind of awfully quiet. People for the last 4 or 5 years got very used to sort of President Donald Trump just kind of coming in over the top via social media. And, you know, until the final weeks of his time in office, the idea of a platform doing anything like this, much less all of the platforms, was kind of unthinkable. I mean, there were, in Facebook's case, repeated instances in which they sort of revised their rules to allow for the way that he was using the platform, which might otherwise have violated. So, you know, there's, I think, a significant contingent of the people who have written in, and there's been 9,000 comments the board reviewed, believe that, you know, the censorship of the president is, you know, woefully wrongheaded. And then others who basically, whose comments came down to, yeah, and you should have done this years before. So I guess he has always been, the president has always been very good at generating content and generating controversy. And I don't think this is any exception.
And, you know, this is all coming as Facebook and others have been talking about speech online and more specifically whether and how to moderate what people can say on the internet. What could this ruling mean for the state of online speech?
Yeah, it's we're well past the question of whether at this point. Unmoderated social networks are pretty much a non-starter, it turns out. Even Parler is, you know, on that page. I don't know that this has as far-reaching effects as people have suggested. And I don't know that it has a great deal of relevance to day-to-day users, because the way the platform is governed, which is a whole bunch of algorithmic content moderation, is just a million miles away from the decision as to, you know, whether or not lawyers citing constitutional law, international law, like many months of deliberations, 9,000 comments. That's just not how the platform makes decisions on a routine basis. And so in some respects, this is an important decision, but it isn't really at the heart of platform governance. I think it's something where, you know, for better or worse, Facebook has decided that these aren't the decisions it wants to make for itself. And, you know, it has sort of put these to a legitimately outside body for this particular type of question. And we'll see what we get.
All right. Our Facebook reporter, Jeff Horwitz. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Take care.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at GT.com.